your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thank you for joining me for What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, and I bring you an hour of baseball joy, despite the Milwaukee Brewers game being officially postponed. You got a doubleheader to look forward to tomorrow due to the inclement weather that's moving through Kansas City, because, boy, we had it here yesterday, and I have the flooded basement to prove it. After I leave here at 8 o'clock, I am back to the wet vac and mopping up, but I know a lot of people have had a lot worse, and at least mine is rainwater and not sewer water. But so I know that we had the rough weather and that Kenosha had some trees down, and you respect the inclement weather. So that's what they're going through in KC right now. So tomorrow's Milwaukee Brewers schedule, a 1:10 game tomorrow and a 6:10 p.m. game tomorrow is the plan for a doubleheader. So you will hear it all right here on WTMJ tomorrow. And right now, I'm telling you, I will be bringing you baseball joy. Bob Uecker moments, courtesy of the co-directors of the new Uke documentary. And I spoke with them just before opening day. And maybe you were one of those lucky people or smart people at the game who stuck around immediately after the game. There was a 20-minute preview of the Uke documentary on the big scoreboard in the outfield. And I got reviews from some of the fans at the game who said, oh, now I want to see it. Sure, who doesn't want to see a documentary about Bob Uecker? The good news is the world premiere of the full-length feature film is April 16th. That is the opening night of the Milwaukee Film Festival at the Oriental Theater. And those tickets, you can get those at mkefilm.org. And here, so you can learn more about this documentary, are highlights from the Uke interview with the co-directors, and start with having them introduce themselves.
I'm Steve Farr. Thanks for having us back, Sandy.
My pleasure.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, a couple. A
couple years.
Last time you were both here was January 2024, breaking the news, and I've stayed
really?
In touch. Yeah, that's how long we've been talking about the Uke project. So Steve Farr of September Club, a co-director, and also...
Hi, I'm Michael Vollman.
Hi, Michael. So the two of you have created this film that everyone who goes to the home opener is going to be able to get a 20-minute sneak peek immediately after the game. First of all, how does it feel to finally have people see what you've been working on all this time?
Well, I mean, it's amazing. It's super exciting. It's been so much work, but it's also been a lot of fun. And we're really excited about how the film's turning out. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, however many people decide to stay at the end of the game, you know, if it's, hopefully there'll be a few thousand people at least, but,
give us a reason to stick around.
It's the perfect audience.
What are we going to see?
Essentially it's going to be a preview pretty much plucked right out of the film. It's, going to be about a 20-minute excerpt. I think we'll be covering a lot of his, early days as a ball player and as a comic, kind of his rise from being the self-deprecating, funny baseball player to doing comic work, basically doing stand-up comedy and working his way up to Johnny Carson.
And what will we see? Will we see footage of Bob? Will we see vintage footage? Who will we see on the screen?
Yeah, both. There's quite a bit of archival. I mean, it'll start with, as I recall, there's a lot of archival footage from Milwaukee, the Sandlot days in the 1940s. And 1950s, the Braves come into town and Bob trying out for the Milwaukee Braves. It's not actual footage of him, but it's footage from that period.
From that time.
And it's just wonderful stuff because as a Milwaukeean, you're just going to love that.
Well, I feel like he described so many of those stories of those days. So now to put it in context and paint the picture of what he was talking about and what he lived through.
Yeah, I think we tried to, the film overall is really capturing Bob's final year or a little bit more than a year in the booth. And along the way, kind of him and others, you know, sort of recollect on his full career. And so we kind of weave the both together. So it is a combination of interviews, sort of a verite, you know, in the moment kind of footage where you actually get to see him in the booth, call games and get to know him. and archival footage.
So Bob Uecker lived such a colorful, multifaceted, unusual, spectacular life. Describe the chapters of the way you tell Bob Uecker's story and this journey. Because I have to think, good Lord, the mountains of footage and how you, the artistry and science of having to craft this down to an hour and a half or a 2 hour film.
Yeah.
So what? How do you structure that story arc?
Well, it's essentially chronological. But the backbone of the story is basically the 2024 season. It does start at the end of the 2023 season, but the bulk of the story is 2024. And then there's just moments that we step away from the season and, you know, childhood and like I said, sandlot ball. So there's like the baseball Bob, and then there's, you know, it goes into the Hollywood, you know, becoming a comedian, doing the Tonight Show, doing the Hollywood, and becoming a broadcaster. Obviously, that's another, that's kind of like the third piece of the puzzle. Ball player, right? You know, broadcaster, and then there's Hollywood Bob also.
And to weave the whole story together by following Bob Uecker around at the ballpark, his natural environment. I think the place he was happiest.
Right.
If he wasn't on a fishing boat, another happy place for him. But to capture him in the broadcast booth and going all around the ballpark does seem like the right way to channel his story.
Sure. And we did go out on the boat with him, out on his fishing boat. And, you know, that was fun. And, you know, I think it may have been the last time Bob actually went out fishing. So it was great to be there with him.
What special time you had with him.
Yeah.
We're talking about the brand new documentary, Uke, with the co-directors from September Club, Steve Farr and Michael Volman, in the studio with me and going to share more behind-the-scenes stories and how you can see this documentary. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
The name will send shivers through you when you hear it. The immortal Mr. Baseball.
Uke! Swing and a miss.
Uke was always a comic force.
There he is, Mr. Basketball, Bob Uecker.
Baseball.
I thought it was basketball.
He had created his persona, Mr. Baseball, and then everything flowed from that.
The world didn't know what was coming when he went out there as a regular on the Johnny Carson show.
Yes, that's me. That's my hidden ball trick.
That is a moment from the new documentary simply titled Uke, all about Bob Uecker. It has been in the works for at least 2 years, and my guests in the WTMJ studio are co-directors of Uke from September Club, Michael Volman and Steve Farr. Michael, you cringed when I said for a few years you've been working on this. How long has Uke, when did the idea start, and how do we get here?
You know, the time has flown by, to be honest, so it doesn't feel that long. I think we first started talking about it in 2022, is that right?
At the end, fall of 2022.
Yeah.
Who started it? Was this over a Miller Lite?
definitely a lot of Miller Lights involved. I think in the you know, amongst our peers in the filmmaking community, I think it's always been, you know, we're always looking for stories in our backyard, first of all, because it's, you know, documentaries are extremely expensive and time consuming, and you're always looking for like a story that someone hasn't explored before, and I think we started, you know, in my head, I always thought, well, I would love to do a documentary about Uke, but that just seemed like almost too, like, above something that we could pull off, or it just seemed like almost like a dream project. And so we started throwing around the idea and kind of pitched it to September Club's producers, Barry Poulterman and Jeremy Kuhn, and they were excited by it. I think Steve had a connection and kind of...
Yeah. Well, it helped that we were big Brewer fans, and like Michael said, something, you know, homegrown like this is nice, you know, because we don't have to fly anywhere, you know, we have our own cameras, we can just go down to the ballpark and, you know, kind of shoot whenever we want. And so that there's a lot of benefits to that, but certainly a part of it was the fact that we're Brewer fans and fans of Bob's.
Are both of you Milwaukee born and bred?
Absolutely, yeah, I am.
Racine, actually.
Fair enough. I was like,
Milwaukee adjacent.
Yeah, yeah, right. But Wisconsinites, and yeah, so growing up around him and him being the voice of the Brewers for U.S. fans.
Oh, yeah.
50 plus years on the mic. Incredible. So wonderfully, now it is coming together. There will be a special 20-minute preview For Brewers fans who are smart enough to go to opening day and stick around after the game, a 20-minute preview on opening day on the big screen. So I'm excited for you to not only see it, but see it with fans and get that reaction.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, opening days are so wild to begin with. You know, it's a lot of excitement, and the stadium is buzzing. And so, you know, I'm not sure exactly what to expect. Yeah, well, I definitely have a captive audience, and I think an audience that, you know, is going to love it.
Of the 20 minutes that you will show, what subjects will be covered? Do you expect it'll be more of the baseball side of things and not so much an emotional side of things? Or are you going to take people on an emotional journey or just give them the sample to tease them to see the full film?
I mean, I don't think it's... You know, I don't know if the section we're showing is that emotional. I think it's more just, it's more nostalgic, I would say, covering, you know, early baseball days in Milwaukee.
Great to see that.
His playing career will be covered. And kind of takes you right up to, you know, his transition into being a stand-up comedian and maybe the early stages of being a broadcaster.
And that's the right crowd to really get into his early playing career of those minor league days and how his character, his personality, I think, was the same throughout it. I don't think you could shake the Euchre personality, but his character and the things that he went through coming up through baseball certainly shaped him into the Euchre that we all love. So there's the 20-minute preview on opening day at American Family Field immediately after the game. So don't spring out of your seat and try and beat the parking. No point. You're going to have a line to get out of the stadium anyway. Stick around. See a preview of Euchre. But this was just announced today. You now get the pleasure of sharing the news of the actual world premiere right here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they should have announced earlier today that the Milwaukee Film Festival has chosen Euchre to be the opening night film, so that's
congratulations.
An amazing honor. I think we're the first local team of directors and producers to have a film open the festival, so that's, like I said, quite an honor.
April 16th, the Oriental Theater is going to be the place to be to see the full feature-length Euchre documentary. What? How special is that?
I mean, it's combining, you know, my two great loves of, you know, being a young person and loving baseball and, you know, dreaming of being a baseball player someday, and then, you know, later on becoming a filmmaker, and somehow the two worlds have collided, and you know, it's definitely, I'm probably going to have some feelings that day. I would imagine it's going to be a community event and family and friends and the community and a lot of people from the baseball world. So yeah, it'll be a special night.
I would be worried if you didn't have feelings that night, seeing this come together, and you're paying tribute to a true legend and icon beyond Wisconsin, where we take such pride that he's ours and that he wanted to be ours and didn't want to leave Milwaukee purposefully. He was, you know, he's special to us, yet he is the rest of the world's. Anybody who loves baseball knows Euchre, and anybody who enjoys films like Major League or comedy or grew up watching The Carson Show, you didn't have to see him all 100 times to know that he was dang hilarious on that show.
Well, I think we've always wanted to give back to the community, too. The community's given us so much in our lives, and this was really the perfect subject, perfect opportunity to do so. And you know, I'm biased, but I think the film's turned out really, really beautifully, and so we'll be proud to share it.
We'll talk more about the film, what it covers, and some of the behind-the-scenes stories with the co-directors of the new documentary, Euchre, Steve Farr and Michael T. Vollman, in the studio with me. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
I love the minor leagues.
Why is that?
It's low pay, low meal money, no IRS people around you. It's great.
One of my all-time favorite people right here. We dress next to each other. I said to myself, I'm going to introduce myself to Hank Aaron. So I said, Hank, I'm Bob Euchre. And he said, who are you with? I said, I'm on your team.
I was kind of looking at him because he was about two stalls down from me. And he took his jock strap and hung it around his neck. He said, just in case a foul tip hit me, you know, I could teach you all these things, but you won't listen to me. And I'm glad that I didn't.
And you won't listen to me. I love that Bob Euchre had a genuine, longtime friendship with Hank Aaron that went all the way back. Henry Aaron that went all the way back to the Morgan Graves days. I'm in the studio with the co-directors of the new documentary, simply titled Uke, that we will all be able to see in just a couple of weeks. He is Steve Farr. He's Michael Volman. The sneak preview for Brewers fans, for diehard loyal Brewers fans who are at the opening day game on March 26th, we'll get to see the preview, a 20-minute excerpt immediately following the game, and then just announced today, Milwaukee Film is kicking off the film festival April 16th with the world premiere of Uke at the Oriental Theater. So what a classy place to tell this story. There are so many more questions I have, so don't go anywhere. But you've been spending so much time on this film with Bob Uecker himself, digging into the archives. I feel like a lot of people feel like they know Bob Uecker already, but what will surprise them in this film, do you think?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit before we got on the air, which was, you know, the incident. There's a famous incident where Bob was with the 1964 Cardinals team, and they went to the World Series, and before the first game, he grabbed a tuba from one of the band people that were on the field, and he started shagging fly balls with the tuba.
I love that photo. It seems very Bob.
Yeah. It's a extremely famous, you know, there's a series of photos that are extremely famous, and, you know, it got him a lot of notoriety as a funny man, and he made jokes about it, and, you know, became part of his comedy, you know, routine. But I think the one thing we learned was that maybe he actually, I guess what happened was that because he did that, the manager was a little upset with him and basically decided in that moment that he wasn't going to play in the World Series.
It cost him playing.
Yeah.
That's what you don't know. I didn't know that. I mean, I think I didn't know it because I would have shaded that photo, because I always think that photo of him that you see framed in supper clubs, you know, it is a funny photo to see Bob Uecker with a tuba, much less imagine him running around in the outfield trying to catch balls with it and dinging it up.
Well, it's classic Uecker, and I think he's always played it up for laughs, but, you know, literally it did cost him, you know, time playing in the World Series.
And that must have been heartbreaking.
It's probably one of his big regrets, I'm sure, regarding his baseball career. And his son, Bob Jr., he basically expresses that in the documentary, that his dad might have, you know, thought twice about picking up that tuba.
Wow.
You know, so the idea of getting to a World Series is actually kind of a theme in the film, too. And obviously the Brewers, you know, they went in 82 and they've been trying to get back, and we've had some amazing baseball over the last few years, and we've been lucky to have that. And that's also in this film. And that's one of the things when we started making the film, I thought of this as being a baseball movie. And, you know, I just thought, well, this could be a Bob Uecker documentary and baseball would be part of it. But I think the way this has come together is, you know, baseball fans will love it, because there's enough of the last few seasons of the Brewers that it's just exciting and captivating. And
it was Bob's true love. You know, he always said, you know, he did all the other stuff for laughs. You know, he went on the Tonight Show. He had a show, Mr. Belvedere, that was basically built for him. You know, he was in Major League and all that stuff. He had fun doing that. But he said, like, what made him happy was knowing that after he did that, he would return to the ballpark and could be at the baseball games calling games.
We're with the co-directors of the new documentary, Uke, Michael Volman and Steve Farr. More behind-the-scenes stories, so stay with us on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. Getting closer and closer to the Milwaukee Brewers season. You know we're way into it here at WTMJ, bracing for full-day coverage on opening day. And if you are going to opening day, and if you're not, I'd say get a ticket. Stick around immediately after the game, because you'll be one of the very first people to see a preview of the new documentary called Uke. And the co-directors who have been working on this Uke documentary since 2022, when they came up with the idea, are in the studio with me, Steve Farr and Michael Volman from September Club, the documentary collective that we can be very proud of here in Milwaukee. So we've talked about how you tell the story of Bob Uecker. And thank you for letting me have a sneak peek. Mm. I popped the popcorn, got some Miller Lite, And it felt very special to see this film. And then, of course, the pressure's on. Like, what do you tell the filmmakers if you didn't like it? You know?
Well,
so I am very honored to have been one of the very first people to see. I will say this version, I'm sure, you know, there's always rough drafts and it will be honed even more. But what a portrait of Bob Uecker. And it's a great sports documentary because it tells so much baseball history that also touches on him as an entertainer and him as a person. Because I think that's the filter, because you show the past basically three seasons. That's the filter to tell the story through, because otherwise it's just mountainous. Because right. Michael, I was asking you before, like, how do you even decide what to cover when there's so much from his entertainment world and his baseball playing world and his broadcasting world? And then you get into him as a person, all of his friendships and going fishing and telling all the funny stories about ripping and running with his friends, Alan Selig, you know, all of those stories. So I think it's a great filter to tell it through. And you wind up seeing footage that you hadn't seen. And I also think it's a real window to a very private man. I mean, the two of you followed him at ballparks. You've been culling through footage. But you two spent real time in Bob's home.
Yes.
With his wife, Judy, like telling these stories, like he's getting out photo albums and archives. Like, how special did that feel like when you were there setting up lights and sitting down and actually talking and rolling?
Well, that was the second time we had to sit down and interview with Bob at his house. The first one was down in Arizona, and we got there, and of course they have donuts and coffee and ham and, you know, the whole spread of food waiting for us.
Yeah.
And so we're setting up lights, but then all of a sudden Judy brings out, you know, boxes of photos and Al Hurt's trumpet. And we just start, you know, and Bob sits down the kitchen table and starts, you know, going through the photos and starts talking. And we're like, wait, hey, let's get some cameras on you. Let's get to throw a mic on. It's actually kind of dark. It's one of the scenes.
it's moody.
Literally, the room is dark, not the subject matter. But yeah, it just kind of happened. But it was great, you know, because we spent probably, I don't know, an hour of him just going through photos. You know, Henry Aaron, and here's this. And like I said, you know, Al Hurt's trumpet, and just a lot of great stories. And it was so off the cuff that it didn't feel at all staged. You know, it just felt very real.
And how wonderful for you to be rolling and really be preserving these memories and stories that right. he would have only told people in his house. And a lot of us haven't been to his house. we didn't get that experience.
Right.
How did the film change from what you intended the story to be to what it became? Mm-hmm. Because he got some real news. Do you want to share this moment of the film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we first met with him, we went down to Arizona and we, you know, we had like this lengthy lunch, like talking about what we want to make this film. You know, we kind of had different ideas of what it would be. You know, we didn't know if it would just be about his entertainment career or if we would just make up a whole, you know, tell a tall tale after tall tale and just tell like a fake movie or whatever it was. But, you know, he was very much on board and, you know, we thought we'd be talking to him and convincing him, and he just told us stories for, you know, 3 hours. So, you know, I think we kind of, you know, we're excited. You know, we thought, well, he's, you know, when she started doing your research, you're like, well, he's kind of old. He was, you know, born in 1934. You're like, I hope he wants to do this film. And we met with him and we're like, he has tons of energy. He's excited. He's definitely on board. And, as we started shooting more and more, you know, we started noticing that maybe he was having some health issues. And, you know, that did become part of the story, you know, what it's like to deal with aging and looking back at your life and, you know, and we touch a little bit on his health and some of the struggles he's had.
This is a really poignant part of the film. And it's Bob's wife, Judy.
We must have a bad day every once in a while. What's a bad day for Bob?
Well, the only bad days he has is health-wise, really.
Oh.
He was having pains in his side, and we thought it was an oblique because he was swimming every day. You know, he had some x-rays and some scans, and they found a spot on his lung. nobody knew what was wrong with him outside of, you know, yelling.
You're the only guy that knows. I mean that.
And fellas he works with.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
It never goes away.
How does that discovery change your filming and the story arc?
Well, like Michael said, Bob had, you know, early on we came to him with a list of probably, you know, 10 to 15 things we'd like to try to pull off in the next, you know, year or two. And he was absolutely on board with them, excited to do it. And, you know, we found out about his diagnosis pretty early on. And like they said in there, I mean, we were among a few people that knew. And so we realized we weren't going to have as much time with him at home. You know, basically he just said, look, you know, I got to deal with this. I'm going to help you out as much as I possibly can. But, you know, I'm going to be spending a lot of time, you know, at the doctor's office, treatments, resting at home and being at the ballpark. And so we respected that. And, you know, when he was ready to do things, we would do things. And to his credit, you know, he would say, we're going to get out in that boat. And, mm-hmm. and we'd get out on the boat. We didn't get everything, but that's okay. You know, I mean,
but you,
you know, it's like, I think his fans, when they see the film and now that they know what he was going through, how difficult it was for him to actually go to the ballpark. And I think in some ways the doctors didn't want him to go, but he'd still go. It'll just make, his fans love him even more. I mean, it's amazing.
The documentary is called Uke, and the co-directors, Steve Farr and Michael Volman, are with me. More behind-the-scenes stories as we learn more about this new documentary, Uke, on What's on Tap.
The clinch night was a lot of fun. And Bob, who has very rarely called the eighth inning this year, comes down and sits down. I went, you want the book? It was one of those moments where you just take a second, you turn your head, you watch the master go to work.
And the right-hander deals again. This one is hit to right in the corner. It is a fair ball. This is going to be at least two. It could be three. The throw. He's in there with a leadoff triple. Wow. The winning run is at third base.
A moment from the new documentary, Uke, created by September Club Films and the co-directors who came up with this idea back in 2022 and are about to see it on the big screen at American Family Field and the Oriental Theater. What a way to debut Uke. In the studio with me are the co-directors, Michael Volman and Steve Farr. And that is a moment from Uke. How excited are you that people are really going to see this film on opening day, right after the game, for a 20-minute preview? Does it feel real yet?
Yeah, it's becoming real to us, you know, because we've had a lot of time to think about it too, and the concept of it playing at the ballpark has been something that we've discussed in the past, and so it's just going to be neat to see how that works out, and I love that clip from the film. We really wanted to make sure that people appreciated, you know, how good a broadcaster Bob was for how long. And I think there may have been a period of time where people thought of him as a genuinely funny person, which he was, but maybe not a great broadcaster or play-by-play guy. But he was one of the best. I mean, he went into the Hall of Fame as a great broadcaster who happened to be funny.
Well earned.
You know.
And he'd called so many of those games alone.
Right.
Usually you have a color and a play-by-play. Just Uke by himself telling you it all.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, there's not too many examples of broadcasters that were the color person and the play-by-play. Usually you're one or the other.
Right, right. Yeah. So, no, yeah, definitely earned that Ford Seifert Award and made people laugh there during that honor. Yet still respected the honor himself, but still had a heck of a great time going in and having fun, making jokes with Henry Aaron and everybody else who was there. And then, so after the sneak peek on opening day, the world premiere At the Oriental Theater, Milwaukee Film announcing today that the Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off with the debut of Uyuk at the Oriental Theater on April 16th. Get your popcorn. Get your peanuts and Cracker Jack. They might be selling some of that at the concession stand. But what do you think this movie will do for Bob Uecker's legacy? Where is that your intent?
I think in one of the discussions we had was, what would it be like to, you know, we kind of wanted to give an idea of what it would be like just to know Bob or hang out with Bob, I guess is the way we said it. You know, like you see him in his different roles as an entertainer, as a broadcaster. And it's like, well, but what is it like to just kind of be, know him more casually, know him more intimately? And I think as Milwaukeeans, we do get a little bit of that. But I think the film maybe will give that feeling even more to people who'd like to, you know, spend more time with him.
Thank you for putting in all of this work. And then at some point, you must come back with updates. And, you know, I am aching to know the things that couldn't possibly make it in an hour and a half, an hour, 45-minute film. So there are more stories to tell, I'm sure. So thank you for all that you've done in creating Uyuk, the documentary. Very excited to see it debut and the preview on opening day right after the game at AmFam Field on the huge big screen in the outfield. And then officially in its full-length feature film debut, a world premiere at the Oriental Theater, April 16th, opening the Milwaukee Film Festival. Congratulations to you both.
Oh, thanks to you, Sandy. Appreciate it. Thanks for having
us.
He is Steve Farr. He is Michael Vollman. Go Brewers.
Go Brewers.
The song you need to hear is next on What's on Tap.
And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
With all the talk about the brand new Uyuk documentary, I want to share the story and music of one of Bob Uecker's buddies, trumpeter Al Hurt. This is a sample of Al Hurt's style of music in the 1960s. It's a song called Cotton Candy, which is a great album cover of Al Hurt holding a trumpet with cotton candy fluffing out of the bell, and he's pointing to the cotton candy like, hey, see this? Cotton candy. Peppy, right? Well, in the late 1960s, when Bob Uecker was playing for the Atlanta Braves, is when Al Hurt met Uyuk. Al found Bob's deadpan comedy as funny as a lot of other people in Bob's baseball circles did. Al Hurt invited Uyuk to perform comedy at his nightclub. Uke's style and wit made Al laugh, which led Al Hurt to recommend Uyuk for a spot on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, a life-changing shift into launching Uecker's television career. Carson enjoyed Uecker so much that he was a guest on the show over 100 times. Here's to Al Hurt for turning the rest of the country on to comedic, conversational talent Bob Uecker. The song you need to hear is Java by Al Hurt on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to another fun hour of What's on Tap. This one full of films, and we just covered the new Bob Uecker documentary called Uyuk that will have its world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival on April 16th. And I would tell you that if you missed any of that conversation and you're like, wait, what? There's a documentary about Bob Uecker. If you text the word Uyuk, U-E-C-K, text the word Uyuk to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Type in U-E-C-K to 855-616-1620 and you'll get the link right there on your smartphone so you can catch up and hear the behind-the-scenes conversation with the co-directors of Uyuk. And it's going to have its world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival on April 16th. But before I get you a good and useful preview of the Milwaukee Film Festival this hour, let me update you that if you thought you'd be hearing the Milwaukee Brewers game on their first road trip this season, the news is that the stormy weather is rolling through Kansas City tonight. similar to what we experienced here in Wisconsin this time last night. This means tonight's game officially postponed. So tomorrow you will hear a doubleheader against the Royals on WTMJ. Game times 1:10 and 6:10 Saturday against the Royals here on WTMJ for Brewers baseball. Now, Brewers fans, again, you're going to want to circle April 16th on your calendar to see the world premiere of the Uke documentary on opening night of the Milwaukee Film Festival. And last week, Milwaukee Film Artistic Director Kara Ogburn joined me in the WTMJ studio, and she had a preview of what to expect at this year's annual Milwaukee Film Festival and some of her picks to help you make the most of the fest, starting with this very Wisconsin movie.
Our centerpiece film is one I watched last year, and I said, this is the perfect film for Milwaukee. We have to get The Big Cheese. It's about cheese.
Competitive
cheesemongering. Who knew? But now you will know.
We really will get to window mm-hmm. to that world. And that is just what's, I think, so special about any film that you see at the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's a window to a world, whether it's a fantastic world, a world created that's fictional, or a documentary that's about something very odd or very useful and profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's how else the magic would you have, of cinema.
Yeah.
Right?
How else would you have those experiences?
Yeah. To transport you either away from Milwaukee or into somebody's experience or into a familiar experience often and deepen your empathy potential.
And you have so many different categories.
It's true.
Because this can be overwhelming when I say 250 films of feature length and
short.
Only
245.
Oh! Well, then.
It's so easy. Easy.
All right, then I will get my exact
But yeah, it absolutely. It you know, we really say that there's something for everyone. You know, films from around the world and right here in Wisconsin. There's something for everyone. I always say ages 3 to 103, but if you're 104, we're not checking IDs. So really, bring
you're
your
older
little...
than the Oriental Theater at that point.
Well, yeah, we're not checking your ID. You know, bring your littlest ones for their first cinematic experience to our Rated K Kids Short Size Small. It's a great first cinema experience at the Oriental Theater. It's in the main house. We'll have the organist performing for one of those. You can get them the best popcorn in town. And they're short films, so they can kind of wiggle on in between. And then, you know, docs. Fiction films, all ages, and then, you know, those late night favorites.
Those are the ones that scare me. Cinema Hooligante.
Yeah.
Those, know, I feel like, could leave a mark.
It's true, but, you know, there's nothing better than screaming with a couple hundred people you don't know in that communal experience, right?
I wholeheartedly agree, and those are your people. Like,
it's true.
Because some of these descriptions, especially for Cinema Hooligante, I read the paragraph, I'm like, that will mess me up. There's one called Saccharin that's all about an eating disorder. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
A haunting eating disorder.
Australian body horror. Or Flush, where a man gets his head stuck in a bathroom
toilet. Yeah. That one seems like it would, it would mess me up a little
bit. There's comedy.
But the people who would go see that, who are interested in that, like, that, those are your people.
And it's going to be a fun time laughing together.
You also have categories of art and artists, Black Lens, Cine Sin Fronteras, Cream City Cinema, which is that spotlight of Wisconsin-made movies, so many documentaries, also genre queer, North American independence. Shorter is better, so you can go to a film session and see six different movie ideas. And those are broken down into categories, whether you want to do a date night or, again, sort of Hooligante.
Yeah.
And sound and vision, which is so my jam because it tends to be a lot of music documentaries. And then world views, where you can see, I remember seeing Kim Bong-chun, Parasite,
right,
at the Oriental Theater. And so it's like, it's a window to worlds where African, Asian, Bulgarian movies.
Exactly.
I mean, just truly, we just saw the Oscars where Sentimental Value, a Norwegian film or Swedish film, but, you know, It was in that area, because I remember there was argument about exactly where it was from. But it is just such a joy to be able to be exposed to storytelling. And the other crazy thing is the universal themes,
right,
of all of these films, where you might think it's not going to resonate with me if I go see a movie from Thailand that's a murder mystery. Surprise!
Right. I think that's, you know, I mean, that's that magic of the empathetic potential of film, right, is you can meet someone who you would never meet, experience a life that is very, very different from your own, but often find, you know, humanity, common themes of humanity, love, loss, connection, family, these kinds of things get kind of turned around and feel very human, and the world feels a little more connected, I think, in the cinema.
And I always say art connects, so it can help you either have a great experience that becomes an inside joke for you and your movie buddy later, either because you laugh so much or because, wow, that was really challenging and I hadn't thought about this in this way. And you can speak out loud thoughts.
Yeah.
And maybe solve some problems.
Right. Yeah. And the cinema is wonderful because you get to find that connection with people who are with you in the room that you don't already know. When you find that you're laughing at the same thing with someone you don't know, you find that like moment of connection.
Yeah. Or gasping in discovery.
Exactly. And the film festival is a great time to discover some of, you know, the future Academy Award winners, right? Emerging directors, voices, names you don't yet know, but that you will know. And you'll be able to say, oh yeah, I saw their first film.
Yeah.
Way back when, in 2026.
Because an organization like Milwaukee Film knows cinema and cares about cinema and wants to bring those experiences.
Yeah. In Milwaukee, home. You show up for it. You are the filmmakers tell me that Milwaukee has the best audience. One of the best audiences will be nice to everybody else. That, you know,
to the Sundances.
Y'all are curious. You ask good questions. And filmmakers want to come be here with our audience and in our beautiful theaters.
But that's
really, and in our lovely city.
But that's really cool to know that we are becoming even more of a cinematic hub like that with the establishment of the Film Office, with people like mm-hmm. John Ridley and No Studios making sure that Milwaukee is providing the services and the creative ideas. That's very good to hear. And that's another one of the things that I love about the Milwaukee Film Festival is more often than not, I won't give you a statistic, but I feel like at least half of the films, you've got the opportunity to ask somebody a question after the film, either the director, the subject of the documentary, somebody who worked on the film. That's very special.
It really, and that's the thing that makes film festivals different than just going to the cinema. At the cinema, you can laugh with other people. You can, you know, have those moments of discovery. But at a film festival, you often get to talk to the person who made the thing, whose idea this was, whose story was featured. And, you know, we're rapidly working on bringing guests here.
Cool. that tangible aspect to it. Well, we've talked about the overall concept and joy that is the annual Milwaukee Film Festival. Now we're going to dig in. We're going to dig in and talk about some of the movies. And we're going to start with, when we come back, the opening night world premiere of the documentary Uke. We'll talk about the hoopla surrounding that and what you have planned for opening night of the 18th annual Milwaukee Film Festival, kicking off on April 16th at the Oriental Theater. Stay with us. She is Kara Ogburn, Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film, my guest on What's on Tap. I am Sandy Max. She is Kara Ogburn, Milwaukee Film Artistic Director. Talking film, the 18th annual Milwaukee Film Festival, April 16th through the 30th. That's a full 2 weeks.
Plus an extra night.
Yeah.
On opening night.
Oh, so the joy for me is it's like Christmas time. It's like when the Summerfest schedule comes out and they announce hundreds of bands. I wait for this too, Kara. So to have the online version of the program available, I have already printed it up. I have already highlighted things. I have so many things to talk to you about because I've music documentaries. So I'm very excited. And I haven't even finished going through the alphabetical list yet. I'm still in the S's. What I totally love, and we've been talking about it for the past 2 weeks, and with the preview after the ball game of 20 minutes of the Uke documentary, everyone that we talk to, as the WTMJ team, what did you think? Everybody said, oh my gosh, I want to see it. It was like being with Bob. I knew I missed him, but this was amazing. It was like getting to spend time with him. So what a wonderful joy to have the world premiere of the full-length feature documentary, Uke, as your opening night.
I mean, it's really a dream. I mean, since I heard that Michael and Steve were working on this, the September Club was producing a documentary, the definitive documentary about Bob Uecker, because that's the one, right? I said, ooh, well, I really hope that they'll, you know, let us show it at the festival. And then when they approach us, they're like, okay, it's getting close to being done. Let's show you a cut. And we said, do you want to be opening night? And they were like, wow, yes. And I'm delighted because it feels like the right kickoff, right? Yeah. To a festival that is full of, you know, as we were talking about, like finding those moments of connections through other people's stories, honoring a Milwaukee legend, but really a national comedic legend. You know, the film is, it's real. It's a biopic in the form of a documentary. It's also very funny.
Yes. And also poignant. It's been told through the lens of the past three baseball seasons. And during that is when Bob Uecker gets diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And to be able to have access to him, where he, I had Steve Farr and Michael Volman in as my guests, the co-directors of this documentary, and to ask them, like, okay, well, how did that change things? And Uke was still like, I want to do things, but I've got to, you know, obviously take care of my health.
Yeah.
But he could have tapped out. He could have said, hey, you've got what you need. Make the film.
Yeah.
See you later. You know, like he was connected, and you get intimate parts of his family and that window to his world where I feel like he's such a public figure.
Yeah.
Harry Doyle, just a bit outside, like all these things that we can quote. And he's been in our headphones listening to baseball games in that one-on-one feel.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also very private.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, I think it gives even somebody who feels like they know him more. Right.
Yes.
As you were saying, that some of your colleagues, you know, worked with him, were like, oh, there's more here than even we knew. Than, you know, there's his work self, his home self, all of his selves, I think, come through. And it's exciting to toast the beginning of the festival with something that feels so important to the city. And I have gotten, and I hope everybody takes me up on it, I have gotten my brightly colored plaid jacket to wear.
I love a theme party. I hadn't even thought of that.
And then after the film, on opening night, so you'll come to the Oriental Theater. The movie starts at 7, but it's opening night, so you'll want to get there extra early because there will be it will be sold out, we believe.
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale to our members on the 6th of April, for the general public on the 8th of April. Online. Don't delay. If you want to be there, make sure you get your ticket. Because we only have that one screening. So you and 1,000 of your closest friends will be watching this documentary together. And then afterward, we're going to spill out into the East Side and do what I'm calling like reverse tailgating. We're just going to go to every bar. It's like a neighborhood crawl. They'll have discounts and deals and fun, exciting surprises. We'll all, you know, toast with, you know, a Miller Lite.
Sure.
Or a margarita or whatever your drink of choice is in honor of
but
Bob.
But toast to a life well lived. Bob Uecker.
Yeah. And to the beginning of 2 weeks of great movies.
That's right. So so we talk about local films. When we come back, let's talk about more of the Cream City Cinema, because even this Uke documentary is made by Milwaukee, Racine, longtime baseball lovers.
Yeah.
So this has a strong thread. So we'll see, we'll also talk about the World Films next with Kara Ogburn, Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film, getting ready to kick off the Milwaukee Film Festival next on What's on Tap. The 18th annual Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off on April 16th with a local film about a local legend, Uke, the worldwide premiere of the feature film about Bob Uecker, a documentary at the Oriental Theater. That's how it kicks off. And Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film, Kara Ogburn, is my guest to help us walk through the 245 films that were announced today, along with the schedule. Before we get into some of the different categories and your picks and tips on how to make the most of this 2 weeks, April 16th through the 30th, what is Cream City Cinema? What does that category really mean?
Yeah, so our Cream City Cinema program each year is where we put all the best local films that have been submitted to us and that we've selected to show you all in those 2 weeks. Cream City Cinema is kind of a microcosm of the festival. You know, we were talking about that range that the festival has of all kinds of films for lots of different kinds of people. So we've got documentaries like Uke, like Dasha Kelly's Making Cake that takes you through her stage show.
Yeah.
Now More Yes, Max Hayes, a film that premiered at South by Southwest about T.W. Hansen, who's one of the picture car guys here in Milwaukee, who also happens to be blind, visually impaired. Beyond, which is about a unique program in Sing Sing prison, but is made by a Milwaukee-based documentary filmmaker. Bright Beautiful World, about Milwaukee's own Pat McCurdy. You're going to hear about Pat McCurdy. You're going to meet him and get into his life. Really similar in some ways to Bob Uecker, if you know him as a public figure. Welcome Poets, which is about Wisconsin poetry. Nicholas Gulig, a recent poet laureate, as well as Laureen Niedeker, who's a long ago famed Wisconsin poet, thinking about place and poetry. fiction films, Flytrapper, Drew Britton's latest, that where writer star Georgia Lee King really shines as Crystal, a rapper cum up to no gooder in the North Woods, Intoxicated Rain, Miles and Neil's coming of age drama. Ixonia's Mild Kingdom is a comedy pilot from one of the writers of the original Beavis and Butthead, who's a Wisconsin guy, grew up out in Oconomowoc near Ixonia. And this is kind of a riff on, you know, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
He's got a funny name. It's not Marlon Perkins. It's like Moreland Porkins.
Right, exactly.
Very interesting to me.
And Christopher Brown's going to talk a little bit about his career in comedy writing and like how and why comedy and all the hooks into real life on that screening. And then, of course, we have our shorts programs, which, you know, within them are a little microcosm. Two Milwaukee shows, which have short docs, fiction, and experimental films. Our Milwaukee music video show is back. That's Yay! All the best music videos, local bands, local filmmakers together exploding on the big screen with a MC who may want to say, oh, it's Sandy Max, everybody.
I am so ready. April 28th is the music video show, because I was lucky enough to MC it 2 years ago, and it was a great window to so many different bands and also the great concepts and great filmography. It was such a, again, we talk about such a variety.
It was
some of them are incredibly cinematic.
And I've been talking to a couple of those filmmakers, and I said, well, it's like now we don't have MTV.
Yeah.
So you have to come to the theater to get your MTV, to watch your music videos kind of all together in one place.
Kara,
then you get to meet the filmmakers.
Exactly, and meet the bands. And Kara, are some of these short film opportunities for the robust film programs that we have at UW-Milwaukee and other schools around?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a lot of that talent emerging. You know, UWM is really well known for their experimental program, as well as, you know, just producing great all-around filmmakers. And so you'll see some alumni work, I believe, maybe some current student work in that program. I don't check everybody's student IDs. And then, of course, our Milwaukee Youth Show, which shows the up-and-coming, even pre-film school talent coming out of Milwaukee, under 18-year-olds making movies and showing that, getting to show them on the same big screen.
And through their eyes, you know, just seeing the world through a younger person's eyes, and whether that's very playful or different
serious
observation.
I mean, I think it's a real opportunity. And I as a programmer, have watched young people show their work in the youth show, go to film school, be back in the Milwaukee show, be back in all these spaces. And that's a really fun journey to really see how talent gets grown right here.
I would just say that makes the Milwaukee Film Festival beyond a spectator sport. It really is growing that next generation of visual storytellers.
It's true. And they don't have to be young. I mean, I think, you know, it's much easier for us all to make films. We've got our phones and we've got great cameras. So, you know, I think I'm open to anybody being inspired to make a film. If they come to the Milwaukee Film Festival and they're like, wait a second, I have a story to tell. Meet some people. Get them hooked.
One of the films I saw, maybe 2018, 2019, was one of the reasons I wanted to see it. It was, I think, part of the Black Lens, and it was a movie that had all been filmed on iPhones.
It's true. And now you can't, now that's not even a marketing hook. Now it's just like, that might have happened.
Well,
with
it's 10
any
years later.
Unless they tell you that it's, you know,
technology has
shot
moved
on celluloid,
but that's the other thing now with One Battle After Another and Sinners, these cinematographers going
back.
So interesting to have that digital versus analog.
It's true.
So we're going to come back and talk about, we talked about the local films. What are some of the buzziest movies? Like the ones that you think, okay, if you can only go to one, Kara's going to tell you which ones to go see, because you can't think of just one, but kind of the 101 list to see. That is next. She is Kara Ogburn, Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film. I am Sandy Max, and the 18th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival. Gosh, almost two decades. Milwaukee Film's Artistic Director. I can do math, but that's still quite a tradition. That's the voice of Kara Ogburn. She is the artistic director, a creative mind, and a cinematic enthusiast, but truly knowledgeable. You help create this massive playlist of films, 245 films of all styles, genres, full length and short films. How big is the team that chooses the different categories and helps make this happen?
Yeah, so we've got, there's three of us on the full-time year-round programming team, you know, Soup to Nuts, Oriental, Downer Theater, Film Festival, Dialogues, Documentary Festival, all the things. And then we have a team of, sorry, I'm counting in my head, five other folks who have dedicated categories. So our Black Lens programmer, Ty, programs our Black Lens program. And as well as participates in our year-round programming. He curated our Afrofuturism series for Black History Month, et cetera. So, and we, you know, we get started on the Milwaukee Film Festival in the fall, in October, November. Research, we have a team of interns who help us with our research, seeing what's playing at film festivals that seems like it might be a fit. Requesting those screeners, watching those movies. I say for every movie I show you, I watched three or four others that didn't make the cut. Not necessarily because they weren't good, but sometimes because they were too similar, right? We're really trying to give you that breadth and that depth of thinking. And sometimes there's weird zeitgeisty pockets of things. but yeah, we're really, you know, working hard to deliver Milwaukee a really world-class film festival.
And you do a great job. It's quite the feat to have a tradition continue like this through the years, through the ebb and flow of businesses and life, the universe, and everything. So this year, two locations, your locations.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Films, Oriental Theater, and now the Downer Theater.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. You can park once and then walk between them. If you're a New York walker, it's 15 minutes. If you're a not New York walker, it might be 20, which is like often the perfect amount of time between watching that Q&A and then sneaking out, you know, zipping yourself down. I somebody should bring a whole bunch of those like silly scooters.
Oh yeah,
that would be great.
The birds, the wires. Yeah.
Yeah, whoever runs that, they should drop a bunch off near
that
these venues, because that would be kind of fun. But it's very convenient to get back into line, grab a bite or a beverage between films at one of our neighborhood friends' businesses.
Oh, so the East Side, very walkable, very friendly.
Very walkable, very, very easy. Sometimes people complain about the parking. We've given you some recommendations about, but always read the signs. But you only have to park once. You don't have to, you know, get back in your car, drive across town to get to the next film. You can walk back and forth. Watch.
Or just in the lobby, but book all your films in the Oriental. And so you do have, so for the people like me who relish going through all 68 pages of the program and circling and highlighting, there are the people who are just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I want to experience it. I want to be part of the fun, but I am not insane and I don't have that kind of time. What are two or three big picks that you think almost any cinema fan or any person who likes to go to the movies would enjoy?
Yeah. So we always tell everyone Spotlight Presentations is the place to start. That includes our opening night film, Uke, Centerpiece, and our closing night film. Our Centerpiece film is that cheesemonger documentary that I mentioned.
Well, tell me just in a sentence or two, what the big cheese is about and when it is.
It's like, if you like Food Network, if you like Top Chef, if you like watching people compete at something very specific, if you love that Spelling Bee documentary, Spellbound, it's got that vibe of the competition documentary. It kind of takes you through that narrative arc of the competition. But you learn a lot about, one, what it takes to be incredibly knowledgeable about cheese. And you also meet Adam Moskowitz, who's the kind of head
the
literal big cheese, who is kind of the head of this United States contingent going to the Mondial du Fromage, which most of the world takes very seriously, and America had, you know, didn't have the best record. You follow along.
I was saying, looking to change.
And he's somebody who I think is also kind of somebody you end up connecting with. He's not just a cheese guy. He's not as cheesy as he seems on the surface. He feels very real. And then, of course, our closing night film, Power Ballad, is a new film from John Carney, who made Once and Sing Street. It's got that same kind of Irish music-centric charm in kind of a buddy dramedy with Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas, who clandestinely meet each other, make a little piece of music together, and then hijinks ensue.
I feel like Paul Rudd can't make a bad movie.
I mean, I think that is also a true statement.
And makes people, and he's one of those people that brings everybody together. Guys like him, gals like him. He's like that everyman. He's like, you want to hang out with him. He seems like a cool dude.
So, Nick Jonas maybe doesn't always want to hang out with him, but that's part of the drama of this one.
So that's closing night on April 30th. If the centerpiece film, The Big Cheese, sounded good, that is Friday, April 24th. Two full weeks. And this is another wonderful experience I just want to touch on. The opportunity to blend history and music in the beautiful setting of the Oriental Theater and The General featuring the Anvil Orchestra on Monday, April 20th.
Yes, we found a film that's actually older than the Oriental Theater. The General is having its 100th birthday this year in 2026. Oriental doesn't do that till next year. And Anvil Orchestra, our friends from Anvil Orchestra, formerly Alloy Orchestra, pretty much every year they come and they present one of their live scores to a silent film. And they're kind of a junk band. They have normal instruments, but then they have kind of like pieces of things that make musical noises
like
that add to the hubcaps, all sorts of
found
things
items
to make a score that is utterly unique. And to see a silent film in what was originally a silent movie palace with an innovative, modern, but experimental score of evoking the film is really something that everyone should experience at least once in their life.
And seeing Buster Keaton as he was meant to be seen.
I mean, it's
on the big screen like that.
A truly sort of special tradition. I always say it's like a one time only, except we do it every year. So it's a once a year special experience. You can't get that, on just tonight. That's not happening.
No. Milwaukee Film Festival, the 18th annual, kicks off April 16th with the Uke documentary and then goes all the way through April 30th at the Oriental Theater and at the Downer Theater. And Kara, you are on WTMJ. We do a lot of news here. So I feel like you have a whole segment of films, a whole category that a lot of people listening to WTMJ would enjoy. And those are the documentaries. And that's kind of your jam, isn't it?
I mean, these are my movies. I somehow fell backward into documentary programming.
And we'll talk about some of your favorites and what we can expect in the documentary portion of the Milwaukee Film Festival next on What's on Tap. That is one of the movies that has become a tradition at the Milwaukee Film Festival. Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense with Milwaukee and Jerry Harrison as part of the band. Kara Ogburn, the artistic director of Milwaukee Film, is in the studio with me to give a preview of the Milwaukee Film Festival, April 16th through the 30th. The program is out online now. Printed copies. Where can people get printed copies next week?
Definitely at the Oriental and Downer Theaters.
Easy. Stop by the lobby. Pick one up. Get out your Sharpie and your highlighter like me, or just browse online if that's just so much easier. And from music films like Stop Making Sense, where people dance in their seats and in the aisles. But it is a truly artistic film. I'm so glad I saw it. It is.
Yeah, it's like you're there at the Pantages.
Yeah, and building the stage one by one by one to culminate in the entire concert together. So highly recommend that. But for the more newsy people, for the people who want facts, want to walk into somebody else's shoes, the documentary series, keep calling it series, but the category that has all documentaries is your jam. What are some of the festival favorites for you that you think people really should see? Obviously all of them, but if you could pick like a top three, four. I mean, I know, I'm making it hard.
I know, right? Well, I've got a bunch prepared, so I can just talk. I think the film Seized is one that I would draw your audience to, which tells the story about, it's a news story about news. The Marion County, Kansas record gets shut down and they fight to get back the means of the paper of record of this small town in Kansas. It's really a film about freedom of the press, freedom of speech and information in a small town, which is not where you would think that this would be happening. We also are showing a film the other side of the same theme, The $6 Billion Man, which talks about Julian Assange's most recent trials, literally, and tribulations. But really sort of, again, thinking about like freedom of information. And so news heads You will want to dig in even further, right? These are the kinds of documentaries that kind of go beyond the headlines. If you care about the environment, we have the film Gaslit, where Jane Fonda is going to take you to discover all of what natural gas refineries are doing to our planet and to the people who live on the Gulf Coast.
And working with a Wisconsinite.
It is a film that is directed by Katie Kamosi, Kenosha native, who will be here with the film first weekend of our festival.
Which is great for those follow-up questions. That's
exactly,
fantastic.
Exactly. And we'll ask her how she got to work with Jane.
Yeah. And Kara, I got to ask you, I don't have to ask you. I want to tell you that the title that jumped out to me in the documentaries, Andre is an Idiot.
One of my favorites. This is one that I had it's a quirky film. Andre is an Idiot. This is the funniest movie about colon cancer preventive care that you didn't know you needed, but you need it because we all need to take care of our bodies. Preventive care is for everybody. Andre is an Idiot. Don't be like Andre. It's funny. He's an idiot with a little bit of a potty mouth. But,
oh, aren't we all?
Right. I mean, he's also very, very funny. It's one that I recommend to everybody. You'll be laughing and crying at the same time and then making an appointment with your doctor.
I was just going to say, and hopefully improving people's lives and changing their lives for the better. We have like 30 seconds. Give me one more documentary. And then when we come back,
one more
get
documentary.
Yeah,
I know. Tell you about Nuisance Bear, which is the documentary about a polar bear just trying to make his annual migration, and changes in the Arctic and people's civilization have really gotten in his way.
Nuisance Bear. It's like one of the Care Bears, you know, that nobody wanted.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I do have that highlighted on my calendar as well. So the documentary festival favorites, so many options to choose from to have that experience, to feel like if you're going to go to the movies, I want to be enriched. I want to learn something. I want to walk out feeling smarter.
Yeah. I mean, or humble.
True.
In the case of Andre.
any of those options. The Milwaukee Film Festival preview with Kara Ogburn, Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film. Stay with us. We have one more segment and glad to answer any of your questions on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Don't you want to get to know the man who wrote that song? Pat McCurdy is the subject of a documentary at the 18th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival. I have that date circled. You know what? I was going to go to one of his documentary filmings. It was going to be on the last day of the Wisconsin State Fair last year, and the monsoon came through and got flooded out. So I will not be in the background of the Pat McCurdy documentary. That wasn't why I was going. I just wanted to. But I love that he's the subject of a documentary.
Yeah.
So many films that you can see, 245 to be exact, at the 18th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival. Kicks off April 16th with the Uke Doc, the world premiere of documentary locally made all about Bob Uecker, and ends on April 30th with a Paul Rudd film with him singing. How bad can that be? I think you've learned how to bookend these films and then cram all the meat in the sandwich in between, Kara.
It's true. There's films for everybody, truly. Whether you want to sing along with Sex and Beer or dance along to Stop Making Sense, you can get a full workout.
That's true. That's a good, and enjoy that communal experience. But Kara, as artistic director of Milwaukee Film and veteran of many of these, how many film festivals have you been
with? I only missed two. I worked seasonally starting in 2011.
Wow.
And it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes. And you know best of all. And so tell me two or three tips to make the most of the film festival for anyone who wants to go.
Okay. Well, I already told you about where to park.
Parking is good.
Park once, walk. You know, if you're really in it, get yourself a pass because you're going to be able to enter the theater first. You get in that first line. You'll be able to find your seats, then grab your concessions, hit the bathroom, be back in your seat in time for the film. If you're not quite that committed, we do still have our early bird packages on sale right now. You can buy a 6-pack or a 10-pack of tickets at a reduced price from when they go on sale for our members. Online individual ticket sales are on the 6th, for the general public on the 8th, and the box office of the Oriental opens on the 10th of April.
Time to browse and choose your film so that way you can spring into action.
It's true. You got time to game plan and then to realize you want to see more than 6 or 10 films and you need to buy more ticket packs or just a pass. Buy a pass. It's easy. I also want to recommend, you know, one of the best things to do at a film festival that's not as normal to do, just go to the multiplex on any given day, is, of course, our shorts programs. If it's like Wisconsin weather, if you don't like the film, wait 5 minutes and another one will roll along. You get 5, 6, 8 films jammed together into one, you know, hour and a half long program. There's comedy shorts. There's our new program, Most Dramatic. Jack, our shorts programmer, said, we're turning 18. We're graduating high school. We threw a superlative in there.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing.
There's really, that's another microcosm of the entire festival, just those shorts programs. But also, you know, it's for those of us who can't, you know, stick with one story for a full 2 hours. You'll get a bunch of them.
So many stories. Kara Ogburn, Artistic Director of Milwaukee Film, thanks for all that you do to bring this great cinematic experience to us year after year.
Yeah, we'll see you at the movies. 15 days.
MKEfilm.org. Do your browsing now.